Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again. And it is the same for us every time we hear God's word. We take it to heart. It speaks to us. And that is a good thing. We have various prayer requests again today, which we all don't really want to or can't quite name, but we will lay it all before the Lord. And He knows where people are, what they need, and He alone can give it to them. There is no one else who can give it to them. One case is particularly difficult. I know or used to know this man. He went in and out of prison and he had a tendency to commit offenses. And he is now being treated again. Somehow this person is on my mind. Maybe it's not his fault. He has become a victim of circumstances in his life and is in very big trouble. We will remember him especially. You know, the easiest thing to do is to shake your head and say, well, he did this and that, and now he's ready again. But it is better if we feel compassion and can also bring such people before the face of God. The trouble is not with them. The trouble is with us, because we should and must pass on God's help. If God helps or wants to help a person on earth today, then He will not come down from heaven, but He will use His people, you and me, to do so. God has revealed Himself on earth in Christ and wants to continue His work through the church. We have often said that. When I think of the woman of whom it is written in Luke 13 that she was plagued by the devil for 18 years, bound by a spirit of weakness, the thought occurred to me that was a full 18 years. If she had met the Lord 8 years earlier, it would only have been 10 years. If she had met Him another 8 years earlier, it would have been only 2 years. The point I want to emphasize is this. The moment she got the first opportunity to have an encounter with the Lord, the matter was settled. And the Lord just said, she is a daughter of Abraham, and the devil has no claim on her. And it was done. It saddens us, at least me, that God cannot yet come into His own with all of us. I gladly take on a lot, including most of the burden that has to be carried, together. But faith is not a one-man thing. It can be the sermon, but faith must come in everyone from the sermon through the Word of God. And when faith is there, then nothing is impossible. On the contrary, then all things are possible. And also the sister with her eyesight has also written again. She can hardly see anything. It may not be a serious matter for us at the moment, because we can still see. But what would it look like if we were that woman? What would it look like then? Then we would suddenly come to our senses and say, gosh, this thing is necessary. God has promised it after all. And that is what God wants to work in us, that we can actually put ourselves in everyone's shoes, in all who are in trouble, no matter what kind, whether spiritual or physical or mental, whatever it may be, we must make the trouble of others our trouble. That's how it was with our Lord, and that's how it must be with all of us. And I don't think that there is a lack of teaching, but a lack of faith. And faith is always linked to obedience and action. Abraham believed God, he obeyed God, and he did what God told him. And that is the only way to understand biblical faith, not a confession with the lips, "I believe," and then you go wherever you want. No, faith in God is linked and bound to His promises. And whoever acts in obedience to the Word of God, truly acts in faith, has the right to receive what God has promised in His Word. Here, for example, Brother Branham says of Job in the sermon, "I have heard, but now I see," probably not long published. I'm not up to date. But here it says on page 15, notice, Job needed a channel of inspiration. Not only do we need to hear God's word, we need to become and be a channel for divine inspiration. From our reasoning comes nothing but new reasoning, and to new reasoning comes another reasoning, and it stays with reasoning all the way to the end. Faith is not reasoning, but divine inspiration, that God's Word is put into your heart and made alive by the same Spirit from whom it came. Now notice, Job needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. Yes, that's the thing. He had it, and it wasn't blocked. It wasn't closed. It was open. Inspiration could come. What good is the best channel if it is blocked, the most beautiful vessel if it is closed? What good is the knowledge of all the things of God if they cannot be given over to their purpose, to fulfill what God intended them for? And we will surely realize that it has to be done by inspiration. Nothing can be done. There was no prophet who sat down and said, "God wants this," or "God wants that." God doesn't want anything. When God wants something, He inspires through the Spirit, and inspiration is eternal and always through the Word. Not through feelings, not through thoughts, but always through the Word. Every time the Spirit came upon the prophets, they didn't start laughing or jumping, but the Word came through them. Divine inspiration is the divine word that is addressed to the church and that can be brought to life in it. And when it is said here, notice, Job needed a channel of inspiration. He had it open. All right? Do we have it? Do I have it? Do you have it? And if we have it, question 2, is it closed or is it open? What flows through our inner being? Our Lord said that He will give water, and there shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And it says, He had a channel to communicate with God by His inspiration. There is no other. And if the Spirit of God does not succeed in really giving us this connection to God through the inspiration of the Spirit, under the preaching and through the Word, no new life will come forth in us, and no new life will be able to flow through us, and we will not be a channel at all. But that is what God wants. And it goes on here. He had a way of moving himself out and let the Word of God move in. We must know the same. How we must put aside all our thoughts, everything that stands in our way, in order to let the Word of God come in. And when it comes in through the Holy Spirit, then there is divine inspiration. And then something happens. It goes on to say, notice how they came to consult him from the east and from the west. People looking for him because they knew that what Job said was the truth. Because what he prophesied, that's what happened. And so people come from the east and west. Well, I have not heard that Job prophesied, but if that is what is said here, let us leave it at that and accept it. Divine inspiration is always right. And Brother Branham says that very clearly. God cannot lie. God is always in control. And every word of God is absolute and pure truth. We as humans announce things, and when they don't happen, then we say, oh, this and this and that, and we always have new excuses, and that's been going on since time immemorial. But God doesn't use excuses. On the contrary, He uses people who believe His Word so that He can bring it to fulfillment through them. God doesn't need to look for an excuse. He needs them. He's only looking for people in whom and through whom He can fulfill His Word. It goes on to say, he said he would go over to the markets. The young princes from the east would bow before him just to hear one word of consolation from him. His great and mighty wisdom, cause they knowed the man was honest. He didn't want to boast up himself. He had no axes to grind, no strings to pull. He was just a honest prophet before God. And they had confidence in him. And everybody come from the east and west just to speak to him in a moment. He spoke of in the Bible here. But you see, he lacked inspiration to tell him what all this was about. God let it happen, didn't tell him. Here we almost have a contradiction. He had inspiration. He had the channel open. It wasn't closed. The word of the Lord came to him. But what he lacked was the inspiration, the divine answer in relation to everything that happened to him personally. He was able to give the divine answer to everyone else, serving as a channel. They came from the east and west. They heard. He had divine inspiration. He was able to pass on what God revealed to him. But here it says, but he lacked inspiration to tell him what all this was about. You might have to read the prehistory. But there is a lot written in Job, in the 42 chapters. And he didn't have the inspiration. He didn't know what God wanted from him the whole time. The only thing he did know was that he quarreled with God because people were quarreling with him. Everything was upside down. Everything was shattered. Everything was broken. And everything was lying on the ground in ruins. Before, everything was fine. The answer for everyone who came, and they came gladly. I said it here some time ago, and I've read it myself. But what this man didn't have was any inspiration by which he could have learned why all this was happening, what the result of this thing should be. And he quarreled with himself, with the people who came to him. Yes, it was not good to be around him at that time. And it says here, God let it happen and didn't tell him. That is very strange. He was able to tell others from east and west what it was all about. Clarity was given by God. God's message was very clear. People came from east and west. They heard everything. Everything was all right. It was thus saith the Lord. And with that they went wherever they wanted to go. Now it was his turn. No inspiration. No enlightenment. No answer. No open channel. He no longer knew what it was all about and where it was supposed to lead, and sat there on the ashes that were left over. That was the beauty of it all, that even if there is no bench, you sit on the ashes almost as softly, if not softer, than on a chair or a bench back then. It goes on to say here, but we realize that one day it became known. If only that day would come, then we would all be satisfied, right? If this one day were already here, if it were today, then we would no longer want to quarrel with God, because then there would be new inspiration. After all, new inspiration comes through the divine answer. But as we read here, we realize that one day it became known. My God, let this day come. Let it come, so that it may be made known. As long as you can help everyone, everything will be all right. But when they want to disagree with you, that's when trouble comes in. But he alone knew he was right. His pulsation of faith, of hearing God's word speak to him, he knew it was the truth. He knew God's voice, all wonderful, except for the fact that he received no inspiration during the whole time, no answer, only arguments and back and forth with all his friends. And continues here, nobody could fool him on it, for he knew it, the voice of God. When it is God reveals something, it may be contrary to what people think. It will always be. It always has been and it always will be. If God wanted to say what you and I already know, then he doesn't have much to say to us. Then we can make it clear among ourselves. Every time God speaks, there is revelation in his word, through his spirit. And it says here, it goes on and on. And then it says, there was something wrong with Job, but he couldn't get the inspiration about it. And it was worrying him. Yes, it was a great hardship for him, and it was worrying him because he didn't get the inspiration. And it goes on, when you get in that kind of a fix, that's when the enemy moves into every friend, nearly you got. And I think that was the question. No, the translation is 100% correct. Not only the enemies, but the enemy is using your friends and my friends to harm you and me. So your question, the translation is correct. Yes, we looked it up. So, when the time comes, as we've read it here, when you get there, that's when the enemy moves into every friend nearly you got. And I tell you one thing, the enemy can use 1,000 enemies and you don't mind at all. And if it's one friend that he takes in his hands, then you've got your death blow. then you will begin to quarrel and lament and almost faint. So then it's no longer a good thing. It says here, at that point, the enemy will take almost every friend you have and use them. And it says, and they begin to accuse him. Oh, it must have been a miserable thing for him to know his friends that accused him. If I... Oh, who am I even talking about tonight? It's almost incomprehensible to me, but I still have to say a little cheerfully, I believe the end will be marvelous. And if anyone here thinks that the prophet is talking about himself or about him who stands here, don't believe it. But God has his plan for his people, including us by grace. But it is such an excellent thing. Thank you for asking this question, by the way. We will overlook the one printing error here in the fourth line. It says here, where the enemy uses almost every friend you have. And then it gets serious. Then it hurts. It penetrates the very depths of the soul. Because the moment the enemy grabs your friend, he is no longer your friend. He may be the same person, the same man, the same woman. Outwardly, everything is still the same. But the face is a little different. It darkens. It slopes downwards. And then your friends become enemies. And there is nothing worse. Judas could never have betrayed the Lord so elegantly. It's all worked out beforehand. What will I get? All right, I agree. And I will kiss him nicely and so on. And then it's all right. Strangers could never have done it. And here it says, and they begin to accuse him. Of course, that's easy. When someone is sitting there, beaten like that, the channel closed, no answer, no inspiration, nothing going on. None come from east and west. On the contrary, people have come and gone from the east, come and gone from the west. Whoever was left was this man, and a few friends still came, and they hurt his soul. Because the pain in his body was not enough. There had to be pain and anguish added to his soul. And when Brother Branham says here, after all, he also experienced it. Oh, it must have been terrible for him to know that his friends were accusing him. I want to tell you one thing. I am repeating myself, but I just have to do it. A true friend will never become an enemy unless he surrenders or abandons himself or puts himself at the disposal of the enemy. And then he no longer knows what he is doing. Then we as believers still have to say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. A friend who becomes an enemy is a poor person. He is no longer master of himself. Someone else motivates him and controls him. And then, of course, there is big trouble. And now listen. Satan then goes and joins himself with his enemies. Suppose Satan had someone with whom he was also not well disposed, namely your friends and mine, your brothers and mine. Satan, as it is written here, even joins himself with his enemies. And his enemies can only be the children of God. Or does he have other enemies? Have I read this correctly? Most certainly. Satan joins himself even with his enemies. If he wants to achieve what he said there. Here we have it. And what did he say to the Lord God? Leave him to me. Then I will get him to curse you and so on, to deny his message. And I will get him to renounce you. I will make him go back and say it was all wrong. I read from the sermon. This is not my sermon. I am reading here what God has spoken through the mouth of his servant and prophet. The enemies spoken of here, the enemies of the enemy, are the children of God and no one else. He is our enemy and he sees us as his enemies. But the moment he wants to do his thing among the people of God, then he has to take people from the people of God. If he wants to do it in Russia, then he doesn't take you here. He leaves you here. What can you do there? Nothing at all. If he wants to do something there, he has to take someone from there. Wherever the enemy wants to instigate and do something, he will have to take people who are there where he intends to do something. Is it true or not? We wouldn't do it any differently. Spies and so forth all work on this basis. They have to penetrate somewhere, gain a foothold. They have to be there in order to be available later. But please don't transfer that to our situation. So, Satan even joins himself with his enemies. Job's friends were Satan's enemies. Is that true or not? Because they were on God's side after all. So, the enemy joins himself with his enemies, namely with the friends of Job, inspires them and says, I will cause wisdom to gush forth. Right? And what was it? Not much wisdom came. At the end, when God spoke, there was wisdom, there was clarity, there was inspiration, there was an answer, but not before. Before that, there was a back and forth. Sometimes you translate, proofread again, and have seen nothing and heard nothing. That is a sad testimony that I have to give myself here today. But perhaps some of you also read a sermon without having absorbed it, without having received the divine inspiration, without having received the answer that is in it. It says here, then he tried him with everything he could, even with all the great men and the friends that Job had. There we have it. That's the answer. It all goes together here. And we see that the enemy actually took everything that was around him to add to his pain. But one thing I believe, that Job thought in his heart that all those comrades who had gone so far, he thought by himself, friends, I love you as I have always loved you. Why do you have to inflict such pain on me? But they always hid the dagger somewhere, but drew it whenever they felt like it. And then it says here, but Job stood flat-footed, for he knew he had heard God's voice. It was not an easy thing for him, let me tell you. Today we see the biblical stories as a story, but these were experiences. This was a time in which a man of God was in circumstances in which he himself received no inspiration and could not help himself. It goes on to say, O God, help tomorrow night that I can preach the sermon Wings of a Dove. See, I heard the voice of God that said something, and it's going to happen that way. Just the same as these other things has happened, it's going to happen. Here Brother Branham is again speaking of himself and in relation to what was going to happen. It goes on. Job also knew that it would be fulfilled. He knew that God had told him that he was just. But they made him a sinner. You can laugh or cry about this, depending on how you feel. Who can accuse whom? Who can point the finger at whom? Who? Before God, all those who came and spoke were just as guilty as Job, no less and no more. And when in the days of the Lord, some thought to themselves, here we have someone, and we'll bring him to the Lord. If only they would bring everyone to the Lord, that would be nice, but not to the people. And the Lord says nothing. He stoops down and writes their sins and their names into the dust. And then they walked away. And behold, when the Lord had finished writing and stood up, he looked around, and no one was to be seen. There was no one to be seen. And he says to the woman, "Where are they who condemned you? All right, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way." So that's why I was waiting for inspiration. What do you think I'm waiting for? What are we all waiting for? Brothers, you brothers, what are we waiting for? For someone to come and do something great? It has to be God. It has to be God. For someone to come and lay out great plans before us? We don't need that. We need God, so that He can fulfill His plan. But what are we waiting for? For divine inspiration. And nothing happens before that, unless we do it. But we can do without that. It says here, that's why he waited for inspiration. And now it starts again. Satan used all these people, also his so-called comforters, but who accused him. But it didn't move him a bit. May God give me grace, truly, that all these comforters, upon these words you have to ponder whether you like it or not. There were comforters who came to accuse him. And every accusation is like a hammer blow, really like a dagger that penetrates you. But it says he was not deterred. But when the word of God became vindicated to him, something happened. Before that, he heard God audibly. But one day, he reached his lowest point. He was sitting there, everyone accusing him, even his wife telling him he was wrong, and he was scraping his boils. The speeches of one that is desperate are as wind. It's written somewhere. God doesn't weigh these words, but he has weighed their words. God did not put Job's words on the scales in the first place, but all the words of the others. At the end he says, "You have not spoken rightly of me like my servant Job." He said it at the end. But if you read, they were all right, and he alone was in the wrong. Right or not, in the end, God vindicated him. God will vindicate in the end. So, that was when inspiration struck him. That's when the lightning began to flash, the thunders began to roar. When inspiration struck the prophet, and he raised up and he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the last days he will stand upon this earth. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. My eyes shall see him." How wonderful! Suddenly, everything that friends had said was forgotten. Enemies were not there. The enemy used his friends, and they came to comfort him and said, "Oh, brother, of course, we feel sorry for you." And then, of course, after the pity, as it was done in old days, the blows were dealt. But God had the last word, and certainly that's how it will be now. Then it says here, he wanted to know if there was anyone who could intercede for him. He had interceded for so many people, but was there anyone who could intercede for him now? Was there someone who could lay his hand on Job, on a sinful man, and build a bridge to the Holy God? Could he go to his house and knock on his door? Would he open his door and talk to him for a while? Yes, who would it be? Where is he? Where can you come to him? Where to talk to him? Where can you find him? Where does a door open? Where does the answer come? Where does inspiration come from? Job had come to terms with God. He spoke of the intercessor, the mediator, and says, "One in a thousand." He spoke of this prophetically. And then it says here, but then, when inspiration came into his heart, he saw God. Lightning flashed, thunder roared. When this happened, he stood and said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." he began to see the response of God to his faith. He began to see the reaction, the response of God to his faith. The moment God responds, if we have persevered in faith, and all of us, not just me, but all of us, there is no other way but to walk the way of faith with God. And if the enemy has turned many friends into enemies, one day it may turn as it did with Job, and no sooner will it turn until God answers. There was no halfway point in which God said, go back to Job and apologize and say that you were unreasonable. I caused you pain even though you were already so miserable. No, they all remain in the right until God reveals his right. We can all speak until God speaks, then no more. Then it's all over. When God's answer comes, all human answers will be unnecessary. They will be needless. That's how it was then. That's how it is now. I am actually grateful that I was asked this question in relation to the translation on the one point here. But at least I have read these two pages. And for me, this is balm, a glorious word of God, a promise also to you and me for comfort, that not people whom the enemy has taken and obviously made into enemies, not just enemies, but terrible enemies. But that is the work of the enemy. The work of God is to reconcile. In the end, the sacrifice that is valid for all is placed anew upon the lampstand, Christ, the crucified one. Then we can embrace everyone anew and say, brothers and sisters, this is the result. Christ, the crucified one, who atoned, suffered, died, was buried and rose again on the third day for all of us who are equally guilty. He is our answer, your answer and my answer. I know, and you know, we know, that our Redeemer liveth, and that he will speak the last word at the end, and we will see and experience it. Praise be to the name of our Lord. May he bless the words on all of us, and I'm sure that God will bless us from the riches of his grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. With all our hearts, we thank you together for the Bible, for your word, for divine inspiration, for the channel you have opened for your people. Faithful Lord, even when it goes through trials and everything lies shattered on the ground, your word is in our hearts. Even when we sit on ashes, your word is alive and true in our hearts. Blessed and praised be thy name. You have spoken to us. We thank you for it. Praise and honor. The enemy has struck, has taken our friends, our brothers, our sisters. But you will turn everything around in the end. Praise be to your holy and marvelous name. You drive us into a corner so that we long for you to come down and reveal yourself as never before. Praised and glorified be thy marvelous and holy name. Lord, also all the prayer requests, especially this dear brother who is bound and cannot help himself and still has trouble with his imagination to be something. My God, have mercy on him and grant him grace. Also for the sister with her eyesight, we pray for her. Faithful Lord, you have said that you have come to make the blind see. Lord, confirm thy word. Faithful Savior, may you restore to us twice what we had before. Oh my God, it must be worth it to go through all the trials. Thank you for that. It was worth it for Job. It will be worth it for us. Thank you. Praise, glory and worship from eternity to eternity. You are the same. Highly praised forever. Amen.